CliffCentral.com.
All right, good morning, everybody. We are live. It is Tuesday, and we're storming through January. It's like, feels like yesterday it started, and it's goddamn past the middle already. Unbelievable. What's happening, Nabung? We've got Nabung here, we've got Bulelo, and you've got me. And we want to hear from you in the comments this morning. You can always join us in the stream, like, subscribe, etc., etc., etc. How are you, Nabung? What's up?
Except I have like not slept at all.
Uh-oh.
So I'm running on empty, but I'm feeling good still. You know,
why didn't you sleep?
How are you guys?
Why didn't you sleep? Oh shit, we haven't gone.
I had like back-to-back nightmares, which I don't often get.
Yep.
So yeah, it was a bit of a tough night. Just like being in and out of sleep. I just kept dreaming that somebody was chasing me with a gun. In every single dream that I had, I was just running from these people. Right?
What a horrible thing to... So you had a number of nightmares, but all of them had you being chased by someone with a gun.
Yeah, like back to back. Like not just one, maybe like five.
You know,
so I didn't sleep at all.
You know, there are those dream analyst type people who are going to be devouring this. They're like, I know what the dream means. You know, let me tell you where it comes from.
Come through.
You know those people, right?
Yeah, I invite them, all of them, to unpack, to dissect, to whatever. Tell me what's going on in my life, please, because I'm tired. But thanks. Other than that, yeah, I'm all right. How are you guys?
Yeah, good. I don't know what... I picked something up yesterday. I feel like a little bit shitty as well, but I'm not going to bore you with the details. Let's get on with it. We got things to talk about. But I do think it would be fun to have one of those dream analyst type of people that try and figure out what's going on. I'm a little annoyed because there's a story someone sent me this morning about a potentially hazardous asteroid more than twice the size of the Empire State Building, which will pass by the Earth. But, you know, like if we didn't have a telescope or a whole bunch of scientists, I mean, obviously a very powerful telescope, watching this, we'd be none the wiser, and we wouldn't have to panic about it. Like, if it's the one that's going to wipe us out, like the dinosaurs, then tell us. But all of these ones that are just going to pass by, I don't know if you want to tell me about that. It kind of sets me off on a bad start for the day. So someone sent this story to me today, and I'm like, oh god, do I really need to hear this? And of course, they animate the story. They show you like visuals.
The whole script for the movie Don't Look Up.
Exactly.
That just came out on Netflix.
I haven't...
sounding very Don't Look Up-y.
Yeah, I haven't seen the movie yet, but I think that's the whole thing, right? That's what the whole movie's about. And
Yes.
I don't want to... Don't tell me about the asteroid. If it's the one that's going to kill us, then, you know, I'll make my last will and testament and, you know, I'll walk outside and take a look. But they say, by the way, if that did happen, if there was one that was going to take us out, there'd be no warning at all. They'd literally come in and just, there's none of that. Like in those movies they made in the, I think it was the late 90s. There was that one movie about like everybody has, I think it was Armageddon, and all everybody has like lots of time to think about it. You know, they've got months to prepare, and they try to take it out with a nuclear weapon and all kinds of things. And then they show these beautiful visuals of like everybody standing around watching as this thing comes in slowly. It wouldn't be like that. I've read articles from actual, you know, astronomers and astrophysicists and people who pay attention to these things. They say, look, it would be quick. It would be quick and painless. You wouldn't even know what was happening. Just be done. Like the dinosaurs didn't go, and then start running and, you know, tried to get away from the thing. There's no getting away from this stuff.
Well, dinosaurs couldn't do science. So that's the big difference between them and us.
What? You mean that they didn't have like, you know, top Dr. Fauci's and people like that who could help the other dinosaurs to survive a pandemic? You're telling me that they just had to
Of losers.
They just had to wait for nature to take them out?
Bunch of losers that didn't even know trigonometry, I mean.
Oh, that's hilarious.
A bunch of suckers.
Oh, that is funny. Oh, my God. So, yeah, these stories just, they annoy me because what are you going to do, you know? If it's the last one, don't even tell me about that one. Let me just enjoy every minute, you know?
Maybe we shouldn't get a warning. We shouldn't get an email. We shouldn't get the text. Let that shit just hit us so we can all just fuck off.
Yeah.
Because if now we've got time to plan, half of the world's going to be in panic. The other half is going to just be wildly behaving like animals.
Yeah.
And then everyone else is going to be like, I saw this coming. Right. I had the feeling. We don't need that mess. Just let us continue on with our lives. And if it happens at 6:05 on the 18th of January, 2022, it'll happen while we're just, you know, while we're going about our daily life. I don't want any warning. No, thank you, sir.
Spot on.
What about Elon Musk and those people that are ready for it? Because they obviously go into Mars. So what about them?
Peace out. Let them go. Did you see what happened at the end of Donald Down? The ones that left Earth?
No,
yeah. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, you'll well see it. And then, yeah, we all have the same fate. That's the point.
Well, now I really don't know if I even want to see Don't Look Up. But okay. There's so many series I said I was going to get into that I just didn't get to in the holidays. So I'm a little bit irritated because there were a lot of them that I wanted to watch. And the only one I started watching was Succession, which it's just brilliant. I think I spoke about this last week. And that's really cool. I'm on to, I think it's season 2 already of that one. But, you know, there's quite a lot to get through still. And I'm not exactly looking for new series. It's the start of the year, the working year has begun. So I think I've missed my opportunity here. My window of opportunity is gone. All right. So, Lebang, there's a bunch of stuff I want to talk to you about. I saw you post yesterday that you were watching our show yesterday morning from your bed. And you had us on the TV. And I forget sometimes that, you know, people aren't just listening to us on their phones while they're moving around. Mm-hmm. Some people are actually watching the show, which of course is nice because as if I don't have enough issues about the way I look. Now I realize people like you are watching me on like a TV in crystal clear HD.
Yeah. Yeah. In 4K, I get to see you guys, every little detail of what you do, all the little sniffles, all the little body language. Yeah. It just brings like a different element. I mean, when I'm not in front of my TV, I can obviously like listen and I'm like, okay, cool. But there's a different vibe when I can see everything. It's like a different layer. And I completely get people that prefer to watch the show than listen to the show. It's like, you know, you feel like you're just chilling with your friends and you're with your mates. Like the whole time I was like, exactly, Gareth. Yeah, Bulela, definitely. Like at some point my boyfriend called me, he's like, are you okay? Do you know who you're talking to? I'm like, no one. Chatting with you guys. I'm responding to you guys. And I just found it felt really special to feel like I just wasn't alone in the room at that time. And I think that's the beauty in what we do, right? It's we all just hanging out, just getting to know each other, sharing our views on different opinions. It's dope.
Well, Carl says, if we get hit by an asteroid now, I'm going to be so pissed. He says, why now? Why after? Why not before the pandemic? Which I think is a good point. Nico says, if it hits the Karoo, no one will know about it. Yeah. Yeah. Here's a plot idea from Quentin. Quentin says, movie plot idea. Astronauts go to Mars, and during the time Earth gets hit by an asteroid, when they leave Mars and fly back, they can't find Earth.
Never done something like that
before. That's the ultimate pickle.
Yeah. I mean, that would be, imagine you go out there, you figure out, we've worked out how to colonize Mars. All we have to do is go back to Earth and get these couple of things and tell them, and it's going to be great. And they come back and there's just like bits of rock floating around.
Yo, that is so messed up.
Oh my God.
Damn.
Yeah, it'd be like, you ever used like the GPS and then you get there and it's not the same place anymore.
Like,
on Google Images. Yeah, it'll be like that.
Fuck.
That happens so often. You'll realize like your GPS is reset or it hasn't calibrated properly or something. Because I used GPS sometime. I had to go to some appointment last year. It took me to completely the wrong neighborhood. I hadn't put in the wrong address. Because everybody's like, oh, you don't know how to use GPS. No, I did all of that properly. But it was at least, it wasn't a, you know, different city or suburb. It was about, you know, 300-400 meters in the wrong direction. And you sometimes get that, like, if you order like Uber Eats or whatever, and the guy's like, "I'm here," and so you go outside and you look. Like, I don't see you. Hey, where are you, dude? I mean, listen, you don't even hear the little.
Someone's lost.
So it's not always, it's not a foolproof plan. I'm also watching Cizricus on 4K while I'm getting ready for work. Oh, yeah, well, fine.
It's a vibe, dude.
We better make sure it's you know, isn't it a good thing we put on some clothes this morning? You know, otherwise Ricus would be seeing us in all of our glory.
Yeah. Oh, bloody hell.
Okay, so you've just survived December and the holidays, and now already you're seeing Valentine's Day stuff on the shelves. This is a bit of a bugbear, right? What can't they just give us the 1 month? Because no, it's first back to school. I've noticed that. There's all the back to school stuff. Then after the back to school stuff, mostly comes the Valentine's, or sometimes they're simultaneous. What is this?
It's
constant marketing. Give us 1 month to breathe, please.
Can we just get a break to just be free and just live our daily lives without you bombarding us with how badly you want our money? And if you think about back to school, it kind of overlaps with Christmas, doesn't it? Uh-huh. It's not just Christmas. It's, yay, we wish you were back to school, back to you. They don't even finish the song.
Exactly.
That's how much they want our money. So it's just like a bit heart-wrenching for me to wake up in the morning and see, what are you doing for Valentine's Day this year, Lebang? I'm like, I don't fucking know. Do you know what I'm doing? Siri, do you know? It's too much. It's just too
And also, much. What about us single people? Maybe be more sensitive to that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is we're people too, with hearts and mothers and sisters.
Are you saying it triggers you?
And crippling debt.
It triggers you.
Well, no, I'd like more sensitivity in this time to say that I'm a person too. Don't just talk about, Valentine's without acknowledging that I may not have a Valentine. What about that? You know, if people are allowed to be offended all the time, hey, I'd like some of that Christmas cake, you know what I'm saying?
Like, we should have an anti-Valentine's Day.
Yes. Yeah. Wait. Oh, my goodness. Sorry.
Oh, no.
We're talking about love.
Another marketing opportunity that you
met someone.
No.
What? Now you got our attention. Go on.
I'd like to ask you something about the course of engaging in a relationship. Because yesterday I heard an electric story.
Yeah.
Somebody told me they met somebody in the DMs, right? Somebody slid in their DMs.
Yeah.
And they want them to come on holiday with them to Cape Town.
Hmm.
And I just thought, that's ridiculous.
Like, in other words, they haven't met yet, but already they're inviting each other on holidays.
Well, the guy is saying, let's do Cape Town and let's go there. And then... my eyes were like, what the hell? But is that what we're doing now? Is that perfectly normal? Because in my mind, I was like, you're crazy. Don't do it. But the person is considering it. So
it does Levan, happen. Like, it really happens. Not in my circles, but I see it with a lot of girls on social media. She'll post, oh, we met last week on the DMs and now I've been in Cape Town the whole week with him. I'm in love. Like, girls actually open themselves up to this. And so I guess so do the guys. The guys are also willing to take complete strangers on these long trips, I guess due to loneliness or due to, I don't know, maybe they just want to show off.
Yeah,
but
that sounds...
it happens. My first thought is, aren't you scared you're going to die? Are you safe? This is South Africa, bro.
You don't take a stranger on a holiday. First of all, who's going to lay out that expense just for company? I mean, if you're going to Cape Town on a holiday, there are going to be people there that you're going to see, right? And if you're so desperate that you just invite some random person who you haven't actually met on Instagram, you deserve whatever's coming your way. Might end up being great. Might. I mean, let's be fair, there's like a 20% chance it's going to go great, right? And then there's an 80% chance it's going to be an absolute unmitigated disaster and you're going to be stuck with this person.
This horrible person. But I guess the sad thing is that guys that can afford to, you know, reach out to girls that they meet online and offer them these trips, they know that if a girl's willing to say yes to a trip to Cape Town, that's just an easy way into her pants. It's almost like a guarantee she's going to fall for me. That's kind of why they keep doing it. It's as simple as that. And the fact that these girls say yes, I mean, if I'm a girl and I'm saying yes to going to Cape Town, like, as the guy, aren't you scared that, maybe she'll rob me, or she'll I don't know. It's just like there's too much at risk.
Isn't this the exact story that happened to the guy who founded Barstool Sports, David Portnoy? He invited...
The difference with Portnoy is he invites them to a place he owns in one of the most elite places in the world.
But it's still a risky thing, and it turned out that this one girl's now alleging he's a bit of a weirdo. He had sex with her the first night and then didn't want anything to do with her and flew her home. But what she's leaving out is that the first night was totally consensual, and he ticked all the boxes, and he flew her there first class and put her up, you know, in luxury, and he wined and dined her for a little bit. Then they slept with each other on the first or the second night or whatever. And then after that, he decided he'd had enough of her. So he sent her home. And she was just very, very sad that it didn't turn into a love story.
Mm.
And therefore, she's upset with him. And now she's alleging that, you know, he's some kind of a sex pest, which he just outright denies. He just went on the internet and said immediately, like, no, I did nothing wrong. This is how it went down. And he just told the whole story unashamedly. He's like, yep, she came into my Instagram DMs and I said to her, do you want to come out and meet me and spend the weekend? And she said yes. And so I took care of it. So it can go right, but it can also go horribly wrong. At least this guy had the decency to say to her, like, you know, this is not working. And he says, stay the rest of the weekend, but we're not going to be together again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but no, is this the way now? Is this what we're doing now as people? Like, I've got no problem with it if this is how we're moving ahead. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I think
DMs.
This is the logical. This is the logical conclusion to hookup culture. This is where it's taking us. So that ultimately, that is going to be what people do. And everybody watches. Yeah. And don't give me this. Oh, you know, love is gone, and you know, there's no romance left. Don't give me that, because the same people who watch The Bachelor are the same ones who are complaining about this David Portnoy story. And they're like, oh, it's just, he just flew her there for sex. It's so wrong. Meanwhile, you've got a show where you've got, 15 women or whatever, 20 women competing for one guy's love on TV. And you're going to tell me that that's some sacred thing? Love? Love is, you know, love is precious and sacred? Go to hell. Who are you trying to kid? You're actually doing reality TV for our entertainment. In other words, you're putting love on the line for my entertainment, but you're going to tell me it's precious and special. Oh, please.
Like, I miss the good old days when people would, like, hook up and shut up. Just, like, don't go around telling anyone.
Doesn't happen
now
anymore.
Like, all your laundry is just, like, exposed. Like, that girl with the hot sauce and, like, Drake putting hot sauce in the condom after they had sex, she had absolutely no reason to talk. Firstly, why are you putting hot sauce on your vagina? Just like, dude, shut up. She just wanted to tell people that she had sex with Drake. That's all that happened.
Yeah,
and Drake is a mastermind for trying to kill the sperm or whatever. But what happened to the days of, like, this is our little secret? And that's that.
I'm just thinking.
Now it's like,
I don't know. The hot sauce is kind of, it's a different take, you know? I've never heard of that before.
But of course, so that's the extreme.
I would like to just thank her for sharing her hot sauce story, not because I think that it's good behavior on either of their parts, but I've never heard of that as a tactic for, you know, making
it's crazy,
making sex safe, in inverted commas. That's never occurred to me as an idea. Oh, just hold on, honey, I'm just going to get some hot sauce. Yes, sis, really?
No, it's like, I think it was after the D. It's like, okay, cool, we've had sex now. The sperm's in my condom. I'll be right back. Bathroom.
Oh,
like, because, I mean, you're Drake. You're having sex with Instagram models every weekend. Now, you know how to do this, because I'm sure you've been, someone's tried to trap you over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, hot sauce is selling out all over the world is the outcome. So, you know, good on him.
Wow. Ruth says, such pressure. What happened to casual coffee? Yeah.
Girl.
I'm kind of old school like that, Ruth. I'm still into actually meeting the people for a coffee or something, figuring out what they like while we're sober, and then you take it to different directions, you know, depending on how it goes.
Problem is, I think the problem is now with girls, you're not competing with the guy in your village, in your suburb, is that Instagram says,
everyone,
if he about that life, this is where you are.
Yeah.
You know, and especially you can extrapolate it. The better looking you are naturally, the further up you are. Cape Town, a joke. Mm-hmm. Luxembourg, that's where we start. You know what I mean? So it's a new world. It's a brave new world. And for this young lady who's still considering it, I think outrageous, but you know, this is what we're doing. So good luck in Cape Town. And all I said was, just be prepared to play your role. And Lebang went there. If you're doing that, please understand.
You know what's up. What's expected.
Just understand that you're not going there for long walks on the promenade.
That's all right.
And you must know that. Just like be prepared. Don't come back and tell us, oh no, he expected sex.
Yeah. What did you?
Wow. What did you? What did you think was going to happen, bro?
Well, I mean, also, you know, maybe this friend of yours, Bulelo's, just got money to burn, and he just wants to take some hot accessory with him. You know, maybe that's his whole plan, and he doesn't care. If it doesn't work out, he'll just book a separate hotel room or whatever. That could work.
Yeah.
That's a rare case, but yeah, for sure.
See, like, from her point of view, why would you agree to that? A complete stranger. That's way more dangerous for her than it is for him. Obviously, she's a girl. This is how girls have to think. But he could always, if he makes the plans, he can also change the plans. She's taking a real risk. Yeah, if I were her, I'd be nervous. Him, I'd be, well, maybe this is how the guy operates. Fine, go for it. Knock yourself out, dude. You know?
Wild.
Anyway.
Quite.
It's so funny. They've just released this this thing, and we didn't get to it yesterday, but we were meant to talk about how yesterday was the most depressing day of the year. Did you hear about that?
What?
Like, facts.
So the bluest Monday, or Blue Monday 2022, was yesterday. Supposedly the day which is the most depressing of the year. And it's obviously more of a Northern Hemisphere thing than it is here, because it's weather related as well. So the article says, we all have our off days, but one notorious date in the calendar is particular and has been singled out as the worst of all on aggregate. Blue Monday is considered the most depressing day of the year, but some people may be confused whether this is real or just pseudoscience. The claims that this specific day commonly coincides with the arrival of some of the year's toughest psychological challenges. Issues can include a combination of particularly bleak winter weather in the Northern Hemisphere, the post-Christmas come down, and being racked with guilt over yet more failed New Year's resolutions. Because this is the time when people realize, oh my God, 2022.
Back to my real life.
It's not going to be my year. Oh, well, let's try for next year. So additionally, people over the last 2 years have been witnessing the trauma of dealing with and concerns with COVID-19. So that's added to it. As with every year, Blue Monday rolls around every year on the first month's third Monday. That's when they say it's at the worst. Because you see, next week, you many people may be paid. So that'll make next week better. But this is the worst week. And maybe
it makes sense.
Yeah, maybe people need to take note of this. They say there's no need for alarm. You shouldn't actually expect to feel blue. The idea of Blue Monday was first coined by a psychologist. Newsweek has contacted them for comment. This is what they had to say. He devised an unscientific formula for the January blues when commissioned by Sky Travel, who proceeded to include the phrase in a press release promoting the travel's winter deals. The lighthearted hypothesis took into account a range of factors. So here's the formula. W plus D, big D minus little d in a bracket, multiplied by TQ over M multiplied by NA. So what he does is he takes the weather, he takes debt, which is the big D, he takes your monthly salary, which is the little d, then he takes time since Christmas, Q is time since failing your New Year's resolutions, M is low motivational levels, and NA is the feeling of the need to take action. So all of those combine, and they make for the bluest day of the year. So I thought you needed to know that. If you survived yesterday, apparently they even have like signs up on the London Underground on the Blue Monday to just say to people, it's going to be all right. But you see, we have Dr. Hanan, so that's we started our Blue Monday with him, so we'll be fine.
We'll be bloody fine. Right. And no. A friend of mine sent me a text yesterday. He got divorced in January, which he celebrated, but then he also heard that the lady broke her leg in the house that he has to pay for a while.
Ooh.
So he was ecstatic. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, he had a, what's the opposite of Blue Monday?
Great.
She was a terrible human. Well, she's still a terrible human and alive. But he was loving his day yesterday.
I didn't know. Yeah, I had a great Blue Monday. Like, my day was actually very, very cool. I had a lunch meeting, And for the rest of the afternoon, I did interview someone yesterday afternoon. You'll get to hear that later in the week. A very interesting woman. She's written a really curious book, which we'll tell you about in the next day or two. But I'm not worried. I think this is good. I think this is good. We made it through the toughest day of the year yesterday without even knowing it was the toughest day of the year.
Look at us.
I know.
Who would have thought?
So brave.
It's not me.
Hashtag so brave. Hashtag blessed.
You know? So brave.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, my gosh. So brave. But we're waking up. We're brave now. Oh. That's what brave is now, by the way. You wake up and you step out the door to face the world. Ooh. A warrior.
Brave has become so commonplace now that everyone is brave just for getting through the bluest Monday of the year. That's how I just want you to know. Don't stress. Don't panic. Don't put too much pressure on yourself. You are a winner just for waking up on the Tuesday after Blue Monday. All right, some headlines. First of all, the president, Cyril Ramaphosa, has placed a minister in the presidency in charge of state security. This is interesting because, of course, we've had some very dodgy things happening lately. You know, we had Parliament catch fire, and they assure us it was one person, which seems ridiculous. Then we had the Constitutional Court attacked the other day, and there's so many other things going on that we probably don't know about. And the president decided control and direction of the state security agency is going to fall to minister in the presidency, Mondli Gungubele. Ramaphosa's office said on Monday, this is in line with the announcement in August last year, that the Ministry of State Security would be done away with and political responsibility for the State Security Agency will stay in the presidency. I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? Any feelings on this?
I don't know what makes sense in this country anymore, Gareth.
Honestly.
If I'm being honest,
Do we even care? So, I mean, you know?
I care, but I don't know whether to trust these people anymore. That they just say so much nonsense, dude.
Like they can say anything and we still won't know. They can tell us the truth and we still won't know. It's that
pay
bad.
Back the money. Pay
That's
back
it.
The money.
That's yeah. it. Let's stop there. Yeah. Then we'll stop this later.
All right. Who do you think should be at the controls of our state security agency? I mean, they might be listening to us right now. They might be tapping into your phone right now. You know, they've got some power, the SSA. And there's a huge amount of money that just disappears into that agency every year. Now, it's not, we're not talking CIA level money because we're not as big as the US. We don't have as much money to burn. But by South African standards, it's not nothing. I remember we interviewed Mo Sheikh not so long ago. And he used to be in the SSA. And he told us it's a huge, huge thing. I mean, there's this massive campus out to the east of Pretoria where they have, you know, hundreds of satellites that are busy, satellite dishes that are busy communicating information from God knows where. And they, the guys who put the president's briefing together every day, you know, his security briefing. So if the president knows or doesn't know what's going on, and I do hear you, like, we've got such incompetence in South Africa that there may be no one useful in the SSA and there may just be, you know, one of those fat government agencies that's just really sheltered employment for people. For all we know, that's what's going on, right?
I don't want to know if it's working. And the problem with, if you think about, do you know, for instance, who the president or whoever the top sitting person is in Luxembourg?
No.
Do you have any idea who that is?
You've got a real hard on for Luxembourg.
Exactly.
Yeah? You like that.
No, it's the best place. It's the best place to live. But like Switzerland, nobody really knows who's running things there, like properly. You know what I mean? Unless you're into politics and it's what gives you, you know, a reason to wake up. Because
mm-hmm.
administrators are supposed to be in the background. When it's working, like our president is a celebrity.
No.
It lets you know it's not working.
Right.
It's not your role. Your role is not to be Kim Kardashian. You should be quiet in the background and you should be
just doing your thing.
I'd rather not.
Remember, for Cyril, like being president is a side hustle. I mean, we all know that. His real job is like to be a billionaire and have however many McDonald's. We all know that. Like he's straight up.
But he sold
and then after nine.
He sold,
wait.
He sold out of McDonald's.
You're confusing his current waistline.
No,
but I mean, with his current waistline, I can see how you think he owns McDonald's still.
Sure, he still has that McDonald's money. The point is, after 9 p.m., then he looks into the side hustle, which is, oh, shit, I'm running this country. Okay, somebody tell me. That's just, we know what's up. You know? So we know our fate. We're doomed.
Well, you can tell it's not like, you know, he's not taking it super, super seriously, because remember whenever he would give us those family meetings during coronavirus? And they became the most important thing on TV for a little while. But he was always late for them. I don't think any of them started on time.
Dude.
That's how you can tell. Anyway, there's some other stuff. There is some other stuff in the news. And speaking of celebrities, Elon Musk, SpaceX, obviously, they launched, listen to this, 3 locally produced nanosatellites into space. And they were launched here in South Africa. The first maritime domain awareness satellite was launched as part of Elon Musk's company's Transporter 3 mission. Took place at Cape Canaveral in the U.S., but they were manufactured here in South Africa. The satellites were launched aboard SpaceX's Falcon 9 rocket as a rideshare payload for the company's Transporter 3 mission and was deployed in the low Earth orbit at about 525 kilometers up in the atmosphere. Transporter 3, which is dedicated to carrying a total of 105 spacecraft, including CubeSats, MicroSats, Pocket Cubes, and Orbital Transfer Vehicles. Those were all launched yesterday. So, you know what? We'll take it. It might be 3 tiny little parts of a massive whole, but this is good for us. We've got to start moving in this direction anyway. So, let's have a satellite or two, shall we?
Yeah. Transporter 3, also a great film. Jason Statham. No love story, just ass-kicking.
I think you've got the wrong Transporter 3 in your mind, but okay, fine.
Sorry.
Love that. You just went, woo, on the highway.
Yeah. Right. Then there's another story I think you might be interested in. Eskom's ex-manager. This guy was Petrus Mazibuko. He was dismissed last year from Eskom. I don't know if you heard about this. I certainly didn't. The first I've heard of it now. He was dismissed after the special investigating unit revealed that he illegally received over 11 million rand from Eskom suppliers. Are these guys stupid?
Yeah.
You know, it's not as if no one is watching Eskom at the moment. So this guy was a former senior manager, and he applied for leave to appeal the order. He was this was dismissed by Eskom last year after an SIU investigation revealed that he had taken over 11 million rand from their suppliers. They approached the special tribunal to freeze his funds after allegations were received from a whistleblower that Mazibuko was receiving unauthorized payments from 2 of Eskom's suppliers. And they are called Commodity Logistics Managers Africa and Tembatko Pty Limited. So more thieving, more dirty tricks, more hands in the till at Eskom. Terrific. Aren't you thrilled?
Blimey. It's another day in SA.
I wish I didn't have to tell you these stories, really. I wish I could wake up in the morning and go, all right, it's all good news, everybody. Nobody's done anything stupid in the last 24 hours. Revel in the fact that you can actually enjoy your day today. But alas. AfriForum is challenging that idea that we spoke about last week to not publish matric results. They say... what do you say? Why did you?
AfriForum, shut up. AfriForum, please stay in your lane. Focus on things that concern you. Like, no, I just don't think it's something that we need to unpack and dissect and think about the future of kids. We actually had a whole, I can say, a war at the office about this even. It turned into like a 2-hour, because we're at odds about this. At the end of the day, there are kids who will not have to suffer as a result. And if that's not the most important thing, then I don't think, what else is there? Why is it so important to reveal people's results? What is AfriForum gaining by seeing these school kids' results? These kids are struggling mentally. They can't deal with this. For years, they haven't been able to deal with this.
Well, why don't,
it's not that important.
Hey, if we all made it through Blue Monday yesterday, how about the kids just get their little precious matric results published? I mean, if their matric results are going to drive them to the fucking edge of mental health, then I just can't wait to see how these people are going to be in the workplace one day. And by the way, the reason I think we should be entitled to hear what they got for matric, because we paid for it.
If it means these kids are dying.
I'm sorry.
Dude, like,
I'm sorry.
We didn't grow up in a world of social media, Gareth. Like, their worlds, being a matriculant in 2022. Sorry.
Someone needs to say this. We talked about this on the show the other day, too, and I did say, and I'm going to say it again because otherwise people are going to think I'm a complete asshole, because what I'm going to say afterwards is going to be asshole-ish. Okay? First of all, I get it. Like, there are a couple of very fragile people wandering the earth who really can't handle anything that the world throws at them. And matric results that don't go exactly their way might drive them to all kinds of stupid ideas and maybe even suicide. And I don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen. Full stop. But a part of me goes, yo, we have become so weak. We have become such little pussies that are you kidding? You never want to be evaluated? What do you think? You're going to spend your life without anyone telling you what you're good at and what you're not good at and giving you a result for something? Sometime it's going to happen. Someone's going to pay you a salary one day that you deserve, and you're going to feel sad that it's not as much as you thought you were worth because your mommy and daddy and everyone else around you has been coddling you your whole life, and you just got to matric, and then you failed, but nobody said that you failed because that would hurt your little preshy-weshy feelings. And you never get evaluated, and then you wonder why you get to, I don't know, your mid-20s and you have a complete crisis. Sorry.
Don't get me wrong, guys. Please don't misunderstand me. I agree partially. These kids are soft. You know, these kids have been coddled. Yes. My opinion is that if this is leading to almost certain death for some of these kids, it's just not that important.
Then they should be taken. Let me tell you, if you are so fragile that you can't handle your matric results being published in the paper, and maybe one or two of your friends, because the rest of us don't care, we're not looking up your name, one or two of your friends seeing your name and it says fail next to it, if you can't handle, you shouldn't even be in school. You should be in some kind of psychiatric institution, or you should be going to therapy every day. But you're not going to be part of a useful workforce. I just think there's a lot of factors. You should be lying in bed all day on medicine. Sorry.
There's so many different factors. And one of the things that I pointed out was that, number one, our environments are completely different, guys. For some of these kids, and most of them in this country, are probably growing up in households where there's no dad, right? On top of there being no dad, maybe mom's not around because she's probably at work the whole time. So now you're raising yourself. You're probably also raising your little siblings because you're now this having to be this big adult in your teenage years. And on top of that, you still need to pass matric. And if you fail because you're so busy trying to handle the household, now they're going to publish your results on matric and you've completely failed. That has like a long-term effect that you can't do anything about. It's done. So I'm saying is, we all have different situations, guys. It's not important to publish these things. So, okay, you say
it's not important. Let's just see why AfriForum are involved in this in the first place, because I do agree that there's probably some stuff they don't need to be involved in. Anyway, they say, and the Basic Education Department is opposing the application. So they say it's a matter of personal information being made public. This is interesting. Birgit Smith said, this is someone from Worksman's Attorneys, we need to be reminded that since 2014, matric results are published reflecting their ID number and exam number. Both are personal information. Now we enter the analysis of whether it can be published. The POPI and the rest of the... So it's all, they're couching it in this POPI Act. They're actually not saying it's because these matrics might be fragile. So we may have completely read this wrong. They're saying it's just a personal information thing. So did they put your name there, or did they just put your ID number? It's been a long time since I wrote matric.
It's been a while for me as well. I think now they probably even put your student number. So I hope it's not your full name and surname. But like, you know, if people want to find out, they'll find out.
But my thing is, I don't understand why it helps the kids not to publish their matric results. Because it doesn't mean you haven't failed. Like we're still not dealing with the problem.
You still
failed,
and you're still not going to be a useful person in the workforce, because even if we hide your results, at some point you're going to have to show somebody whether you've got matric or not. Mm. Right?
And real life has really sharp consequences, right? So in basic biology, there's something called Ashby's law of requisite complexity, right?
Jesus, where did you pull that one from? What is it?
So it's called Ashby's law of requisite variety. I've tried to be less douchebaggy about having a science degree, but I thought, let me bring it out today. You know, as you know, I'm very humble.
Look at this. This is an actual dude.
I am a cultural commentator, Liban. Quite right.
This is amazing. Ashby's law. This is amazing. Requisite variety. Okay, tell us what it is.
So it demands that If you're in a complex environment, you yourself must be complex. Your complexity as a being, right from the cellular structure right up to the gross, which we can observe, which in our case is human beings, is you need to be as complicated as your environment. So if you're in a really simple environment, the sea, you can be a jellyfish.
Yeah.
But in a world with 7 billion people, sorry, you don't get to say I failed, so you're not publishing it. By the way, that doesn't solve your problem. You're only harming yourself. Is get with it. Like, why are we making it softer and easier in a world that's getting harder?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll tell you who that makes it harder for in the long term, the taxpayer. We're only harming ourselves as the taxpayer.
Well, Michael says something else that's interesting about this. He says matric results are being hidden, not because they show up the kids, but because the results are showing up the educators.
100%.
That's a good point.
That's a great point.
Yeah. And I mean, frankly, can you imagine going to work at your first job and you have to, I don't know, you have to make coffee for the boss because there's, you know, your first job, you never do anything important. You have to make coffee and you have to empty the rubbish bins at the office. And and let's say that you're having a tough day. So you say, I need a mental health day. That's fine if you do it once. But by the 15th time you've done that, because you've been taught that that's a way to get out of doing stuff, you really think that boss is going to want to keep you around? They're going to find some excuse to get rid of you. So there's a whole lot more pain coming for you than having your result published in the newspaper. For some people, that's the only time they'll ever be in the newspaper.
And look, here's the reality, right? And I keep saying this to people. There's a reason Asian people are beating us as black people. We lower the standard to the lowest denominator. Like, we're going to keep – is this what we want to do as a society? We're losing. And nobody wants to hear that, but that's what's happening. And this
we should definitely be at the source of the problem instead of pushing it up. I agree 100% with you guys there. I just feel like if it means kids are dying, it's just not worth it. But in the long run, again, what is the actual problem here? Is it the education system? Is it the teachers? It can't be the kids. I mean, partially, but we can't put a blanket on them and say, all of you guys are in the wrong. What is the real issue? Let's focus on that. Because you're absolutely right. The idea of the solution is to, cushion around. It doesn't get to the source, and it never has. It never has.
Did I hear correctly that the pass rate is 30% now? It can't be, hey?
That's true.
There's no way.
No, that's right.
It's hilarious. That is hilarious.
No, that is
I remember being at Tux and getting like a 30% for one of like my subjects and being so happy. I was like, I'm getting closer. Yay.
Yes. Like I'm a family failure, right? Everyone in there is a straight A student, my mom, my dad, and my sister, for getting 60s. It was a situation at home that I was getting 60s for at school.
Well, if only you got 31, you would have passed in,
You're right.
Huh. You're working too hard. You're working too hard.
It means 70%. You're getting 70% of whatever it may be wrong.
Or you just don't know that 70%, sure.
Yes, that's hectic.
So anyway, let's see what happens. But a lot of people saying it's really about personal information. It's not about the protecting the kids' mental health, et cetera, so we may have the wrong end of the stick there. But nonetheless, it's something which is being... it's being looked at by Afri Forum, and we've learned about Ashby's law of requisite variety this morning. That's going to stay in my head for months. Sorry, I'm not getting over that one quickly. Sorry. Here's a story.
You're welcome.
I mean, you know how we, Libang, we've spoken about being caught out in these phishing scams before, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that's happened to you.
Yes, sir.
Remember, you actually told us about that when you just joined us. So here's a story. This guy called Mark Niemand, who was actually caught in a variety of clever email phishing. Well, it wasn't a variety of these. You see, requisite varieties climbing into my head. He was caught out in an email phishing scam, and he's going to tell us his story about how he lost 260,000 Rand last year in one of these phishing scams. You know, sometimes I'll log into my online banking, and they'll have that, warning, be aware of phishing scams and stuff. And I mostly just go, oh, yeah, all right, let me get to my account. But when I hear a story like this, it makes me go, I want to kind of just read all that stuff again, make sure that I know what's going on, because you don't want to lose as much as he lost. 260,000 rand. I guarantee you, you know, anyone, when you lose that kind of money, it burns, no matter how much money you have. But it's especially bad if that happens to you at this time of year. And you know these guys are busy operating, right? They're like, ah, let's see which accounts still have some money in them. So we'll find out from him. He also was horrified at the bank's response. And if you think that the bank, your bank has got your back, I've got very bad news for you. They, all I want to say is that they don't really care about us.
Tell them.
Literally.
The banks. Yes.
Yeah. Like, no, we'll talk.
Did you say 260,000? 260,000. That number.
Thou, dude. 260,000.
That's like a Kia Picanto or something.
Yeah.
Exhaust.
It's a lot of money.
Yo, right. That's crazy. That's ¼ million rand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some parents don't even send their kid to school because they can't even fill in the form. It's Jesse. But Jesse, I will point out that you said you spelled there T-H-E-R-E, which makes me think that maybe you should also, you know, go back and fix T-H-E-I-R. just saying. You know.
Yeah. What an own goal.
Sorry. Yeah, bit of an own goal. Listen, I know this is very unkind, but I still judge people by, you know, if they've got more than 3 or 4 spelling errors in an email, I just don't take them seriously. If you send me an email and you've got some proposal and, you know, you come up with some idea, or you want to do a podcast, or you want to come and work for us or whatever, if you have more than 3 spelling errors, not gonna respond. Well, I'll respond, but I'm not gonna be, oh, hey, come and see us. I'll be, thanks very much, but unfortunately, there's nothing available. And that is the truth most of the time.
It's in the little things. It's in the little things.
Guy, do you know who David Mitchell is? Anyway, he's got something called David Mitchell's Soapbox, like hilarious British comedian.
Yeah.
And in it, he has one of these rants where I couldn't agree with him more. Who are these people sending bad spelling using bad grammar and whatever? You've got the spell check. So if you're a good speller, right? Okay, fine. You wouldn't. But if you're a bad speller, why aren't you using spell check? I don't understand in this day and age is who's got so much confidence knowing you're bad at spelling.
Right.
Use the spell check.
Right. There's no excuse anymore. You could always look the word up. You know, you don't have to go and get the, you don't have to go to the local library, which is 10 kilometers away from your house, walk there, look up the word, and then walk all the way back after you've written it on a scrap of paper. These days you can just look the fucking thing up on your phone.
It translates to laziness, and I think that's what the turn off ultimately is. It's like, it's not that you can't spell. Uh-huh. You're just lazy to try and to figure it out, and it's not that difficult anymore. So it's just like, no, you're not the guy.
Sanele says, thank you, Mbulelo, for that flex. I'm going to randomly drop Ashby's Law to everyone I talk to today for absolutely no reason. That's a brilliant idea. We should all do that.
Sanele, so throw in that you're a cultural commentator so we know it's real.
Well, he's not. He's not. No, the difference between him and I am a cultural commentator. He's not.
Sanele is an avid listener of the show. Sanele is one of us. At this stage, after hearing cultural commentator every single day coming out of your mouth, hey, we're all cultural commentators.
Yeah.
I'm kidding, Mulele, you can have it. It's yours.
Well, I mean, Michelle makes this point about the thing we were discussing earlier. And Michelle says, imagine as a passenger, you get on the plane knowing that your pilot got their qualification by passing with 30%. And there's 70% of the things that can happen that they don't know about. Ugh, that makes me nervous.
Michelle, some of them don't even have qualifications. They just know the right people.
Well, you've heard those stories about those complete con men who like pretend that they're pilots. And, you know, that's what you don't want.
Well, anyway. Remember the big SAA case recently, was it last year, where that the guy who's been flying for, 30 years got caught for lying,
All right, so let's go to Mark and hear about this phishing scam that he was caught out in. Hey, Mark, nice to see you, man.
Same here. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Gareth.
So listen, first of all, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry that you had to go and lose 260,000 rand. It can't have been – I mean, you're smiling about it now, but I guarantee you must have been absolutely devastated when it happened. How did it all take place? And tell us, bit by bit, how it happened.
Gareth, I purchased a home in Kleinbrock, and terms and conditions of the contract were that I would pay a 10% deposit. Mm-hmm. And the dates and times were determined, and I waited and waited and waited, and eventually really didn't receive much from anyone. Eventually, I had contact with a lady called Selma LaRue, who was the agent from Pam Golding in the area.
Yes.
And eventually what transpired is that Selma let me know that I must pay the deposit by a certain date, or somebody told me I must pay the deposit by a certain date. Mm-hmm. And that was the first sort of correspondence I had with anybody. Mm-hmm. On the date, it was, I think, around about the 21st of October, I had to pay the I think I got a reminding email to pay. Well, I got an email to pay the 260,000 rand, and included in that email were FNB banking account details, mm-hmm. all the necessary stuff, mm-hmm. and my manager, who's based in Mahikeng, made the payment and sent proof of payment to me and to Heather, and I presume to the email that was sent to us. Mm-hmm. A while after that, Gareth, we got a phone call eventually the first phone call. I tried to contact a lady by the name of Zaza Jaquir, mm-hmm. who is employed by these attorneys. I was unsuccessful at all stages, and I then phoned Selma and said, look, Selma, I'm struggling to get a hold of her. And at some stage, Selma said to me,
all right, there's a lot of unnecessary, and if you don't mind my saying, quite boring details for those of us who don't know the people involved. But basically, sure. No, so you're 260,000 rand that's gone out of an account that was yours into an account that you assured is like, it's a property.
From the attorney's.
It's a property deal.
100%.
So in other words, it's a trust account.
Perfect.
Attorney's trust
exactly
account.
Exactly that.
And then, you're starting to get nervous now because something's not adding up, but the money's already gone, right? You would think.
Correct.
You would think you can call up the bank and say, hey, guys, please reverse this transaction.
100%, Gary. I eventually, it transpires that the email that was sent to me was sent to the incorrect email address. So I was not getting any emails from the correct attorneys. Mm-hmm. Somebody had hacked, it seems like the fraudsters hacked the account and sent me, and the fraudsters sent me the email.
Yeah.
When eventually the correct attorneys phoned me to say, well, where's the money? I said, well, I paid the money last week and here's the proof of payment. They said, well, they haven't received any money. And then the boss of that attorney's account phoned me and said, look, give me the details. I sent it through to the gentleman.
Yeah.
He then said to me, look, these accounts don't belong to us and we've never seen them before. Jeez. We then immediately, my bank, APSA, contacted FNB and said, this is what's happening. Tell us what's going on. And from that, Cecil actually phoned the bank to report it. And it seems like APSA then contacted us back and said, FNB have confirmed that the name of that account does not match the name of the account that you suppose you sent the money to.
Okay.
I then the same day, the next day, the day after that, I was.
No, hang on. You can't go. You're confusing the hell out of me. Same day, the next day, the day after. I mean, like, I'm getting confused.
The same day that the bank confirmed that the money, that it was a fraudulent account.
Mm-hmm.
The day after that, they told me that I went and lodged a police case at the Stellenbosch police office.
Right.
That was on the 30th of October. On the 31st of October, FNB acknowledged back to me via their fraud system that they had received the case number. I also believe that APSA lodged a fraud case on their own.
So it sounds like you'd gone to all the, because there's certain conditions that need to be met here for them to then, you know, look into it and declare it a fraudulent transaction and try and get your money back. So this is October last year. So where are you at? Is this money just gone? Have they told you, sorry, tough
city? It's gone. What, Gareth, about 3 weeks, plus minus 3 weeks after the police case was passed on to FNB,
mm-hmm.
3 weeks after that, I got the first call at all with regards to the entire matter from FNB.
Mm-hmm.
A guy named Roshan Jalal phoned me.
All right, listen, none of that's useful to us. We just want to hear the story this morning. We're not going to help you with your case. Do you understand?
Sure.
Like, I don't want too much detail here. I just want to know what happened.
3 weeks later, a guy from FNB phoned me to say, we just want to confirm, Mr. Niemand, that your money has been stolen and it has gone. Immediately. Oh, the new account money went into the account and was stolen. That's what the guy
that's
said.
That's it. And, they were like, we can't help you.
Yeah. I said, why would you take 3 weeks to tell me this? I actually phoned you 3 weeks ago to tell you that the money is stolen.
Yeah.
You don't have to phone me and confirm it. Do something about it. And he said, no. I said, why haven't you told me the money's been stolen from me? And he said, no, we told APSA. So I said, but APSA hasn't been defrauded. And he said, that is banking protocol. So I said, how can banking protocol be that you don't tell the person who's been stolen from?
Right.
And it takes you 3 weeks.
You tell him three weeks later.
He just said, 100%. He just said, that's banking protocol. That's banking protocol. That, and that's all. So I said to him, Roshan, can I please speak to your boss? Mm. And he said, actually, I'm the head of the fraud division for FNB South Africa. So then I knew I was in big trouble.
So listen. We have to do all these FICA and RICA, and you know, you have to fill in a million forms when you open a bank account. Even when you just buy a SIM card, you have to fill in a million forms. And they assure us that this is because they want to stop stuff like this from happening. How? What's the point of doing all this paperwork when you open an account if it's bullshit? If anyone you can just open an account and you're a complete scammer and a fraudster. What's the point of them telling us the whole time they've got all these financial controls if this is what happens?
100%. And when the name of the account, the person sending the money, that name on that account that I was sending the money to doesn't match the receiving account, surely with a multi-billion rand business, that should flag the transaction?
Yeah. That's what the whole point of the bank. The whole reason the bank 100%. Exists is for this, right?
100%.
Yeah. Why have the bank? I mean, really.
It seems like it was really done very, very sloppily. And, you know, Gareth, my business is selling fuel. I've done it for over 30 years. On every single pump island, I have a signboard which says the owners of the vehicle are responsible to check that diesel goes into diesel and petrol goes into petrol.
Right.
And despite every single sign, every now and again at my filling station, and sometimes, unfortunately, it happens to fancy 7 Series BMWs and S-Class Mercedes, the stuff gets put in the wrong car, the engine blows up, and the owner of the car comes back to me and says, I couldn't care less what signs are up on your board. You've got an attendant who should know what he's doing, and this was a mistake. And every time the insurers and the attorneys have advised me, Mark, you will lose the case. Best you go to your own insurance fix up the guy's car.
So,
and
Mark,
to me, it's like the bank can get away with it, but I, as a small businessman, can't get away with anything.
Well, I think that's horrendous, and I really think like this is the whole reason we have banks, and they employ thousands of people in South Africa. What are these people doing if not trying to find the bad guys and stop them from doing this to us? Right? Surely that's all they're there for. Now, I just want to get a comment here from Snai. She says, when I was selling my house last year, the attorney that did the transfer told me lawyers lose about 800 million rand a year from these kinds of scams. That's big money. These guys should be sorting it out. Are you telling me that some like petty criminal who can hack into this is more powerful and more smart and faster and cleverer than the bank and its entire infrastructure? In that case, let's find other ways to put our money somewhere, right? Let's just stop giving these idiots.
For sure, yeah.
Jesus, that's bad.
And I mean, the lawyers have some responsibility, but they're just a small operation. Hmm. And fair enough, they were hacked. But the bank did nothing at all. Zero. They just point blank washed their hands.
Well, listen.
I feel like if they figured the things properly, Garrett, they'd be able to trace the guy.
So
but it's all a scam.
So now here you sit a couple of months later. The money's gone. You've been told that that's tough. There's nothing we can do for you. So poor you. You just have to carry on and you have to take on the loss. It's not your problem.
I've already paid a substantial amount of money to senior counsel Garrett, who has written me an opinion that he believes that both parties involved, both the attorneys and FNB, there should be a reasonable chance of success. Subject to certain things, which is usually the case. But I'm continuing it with Gareth because I don't believe I have the luxury of allowing it to happen to me.
Dude, I'm behind you all the way. But, you know, law, you take this to the courts and it ends up costing you there as well. So I'm holding thumbs for you, man. You're not alone.
As a matter of a last thing, Gareth, I reported it to the banking ombudsman.
Yeah.
And I got an email back from them to say that I would have a response back from them no later than the 18th.
Mm-hmm.
I think they might have then said the 20th. So I might actually hear something from the banking ombudsman, if we're lucky, today. But I'm not holding my breath.
Well, I'm holding thumbs while you're not holding your breath. And listen,
thank you very much.
I really hope it gets sorted out. Sorry, there was just a lot of detail in there that we weren't entirely, you know, we didn't know names and places and dates, and we don't need
I could have bored you. I could have bored you till the cows come home. I appreciate you guys having a show like this where I can at least have some platform to vent and to actually discuss what people like F&B are doing.
Well, a lot of people are saying a lot of people are saying, like Marty, for example, it's always an inside job. My old man had a considerable amount too. Not sure if he got it back. He passed on a few years ago. Listen, these banks are going to tidy up their people and their infrastructure. But thank you, Mark. I'm sorry that this happened to you, man.
Jeez. No, I appreciate you guys having me on. Thank you all.
No worries, dude. Thank you.
Cool.
There we go. There's Mark Niemont. So
guys, you know the trauma that a person experiences after going through something like that.
You
like mentally, it's the most difficult thing, and I know exactly how he's feeling. You want to tell each and every detail, because even for you, as you pay it back, you know, you start to sort of pick up the red flags, like, oh shit, at that point I should have stopped. You have to replay it detail for detail so that you can also remember it as it was. It's a whole traumatic thing. I'm so glad he spoke to us today, because this probably is going to be helping him in his recovery to get over this. Because guys, if you don't hound those banks, they will not call you. They just won't. You have to call them every single day. You have to follow up every 2 hours, otherwise they just won't. Because what's 200,000 to a bank? Please remind them?
Well, Keith says he reckons it's not the bank at all. The email's been hacked. The money's gone to the hacker. It's as simple as that. The bank is not involved. See, that's their line as well. But I don't know. If they are the system by which large amounts of money is transferred, then to my mind, if we're using your system needs to be safe. I don't think they get off
scot. Like, does anything matter anymore?
Yeah.
Like, does it matter that Ifika, Rika, Mika, Tanika?
I mean, what's FNB's tagline?
How can we help you? Yeah. Well, listen. Well,
the bank is not your friend, though. I think the takeaway is people need to learn this. Number one, I hate to cast these aspersions, but I have a 95-year-old Jewish woman who means everything to me, who told me, number one, money is not your friend. She told me this since I was young. Number two, the bank is not your friend. She's always said this to me. Those two things are not your friend. Don't treat them like that. And I feel for him, but banks, yours.
Yeah.
Imagine how many sour worms the guy could have bought.
Jeez.
$250,000.
Poor dude.
The sour worms, right? But 800 million, like, that's a lot. Like, if this is, like, generally happening as often as it seems like it is, and that's how much money's being lost, the banks by now should have said, okay, cool, what can we actually do? It just seems like they don't care enough, and that's really sad. Like, you have to fight for your money, guys.
It makes sense to me that if the bank can allow you to open an account and money can go into that account, they can also take money out. They can take it back. And if the guy's closed the account, there should be information that you could track him down with. Find out where his other accounts are. Because it's not like he's going to go to the ATM and withdraw 260K. He's had to move that to another account, right?
100%. There's digital tracking, isn't there?
You can't go go to the ATM and withdraw 260,000 rand. So it's digital money that's moved to another account. Anyway, listen, I'm sorry about that. What a shit thing for Mark.
Sorry,
we will be back in a minute or two. We got a whole lot more. And since it's the beginning of the year, I know you're going to swallow this bitter pill with me this morning. It's going to be a tough day today. We thought yesterday was Blue Monday, but today's going to be a tough day because you're going to learn from Joe Camino what to do with your money and what not to do with your money. We need to have him on. I know he frightens some of us. I know that he makes some of us uncomfortable, but that's what he's there for. Joe's not there to make you feel good. Joe's there to help you actually improve yourself. All right, all of that and more on the way. CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com.